Hello, my sacred libations. My name is Jessie, and welcome to my podcast, Tea with the Gods. Today, we finally are diving into the fundamentals of worship by discussing offerings. Everything you need to know, and hopefully everything you ever wanted to know about offerings, we'll be talking about here. So let's pour an extra cup of tea as an offering for the gods and jump right in. As mentioned in the terminology episode, offerings are something you give to the gods to show your gratitude and devotion. For Hellenics, offerings are the backbone of our religion. It's the basis of worship and devotion. When we need to ask our gods for a favor, we give an offering. When we want to thank them for granting us that favor, we give an offering. When we want to show gratitude for what they do for the world, we give an offering. Even when we just want to sit and chat about our day, we give an offering. So why exactly do we give offerings? Offerings are a way for us to humble ourselves in the presence of the gods. They are all-powerful, ultimate, and immortal, so it says something for us to sacrifice what little we have in comparison. Another way of looking at it is comparing it to the power of sharing food. Most cultures see sharing food and drinks together as a deeply symbolic thing. I come from an Italian and Irish family, where strangers immediately become family around a dinner table or with a round of drinks. There's a reason that the most common and traditional offerings are food and wine. By sharing our meals with the gods, we are inviting them into our lives, thanking them for their blessings, and most importantly, trying to establish a deep connection. Now, what exactly do you give as an offering? Traditionally, a portion of one's meal was sacrificed to the gods as an offering, and drinks were poured out as libations. Food and drinks are still a very popular offering today. In addition to that, the Olympians have their own specific offerings that they are associated with. We'll get into the specifics of those in my Meet the Gods series. Most modern-day Hellenics like to give offerings that relate to their theos in some way, such as anything featuring strawberries to Hermes, or anything related to pomegranates to Persephone. While most of the Theoi have specific offerings built into their mythology, what you choose to give isn't limited to those specific things. It's not limited at all. The act of giving is way more important than the offering being given. By that I mean a modest offering given with love, appreciation, and thought is going to be received better than a grand offering given with arrogance, expectations, and entitlement. So whatever it is you choose to give, make sure you give it with gratitude and love. A concern a lot of worshipers, freshly hatched or experienced, have is the quality of their offerings. I get messages constantly from self-conscious worshipers worried their humble offerings aren't good enough for their beloved gods. They want to give more, but because of circumstances, they are unable to. And that's completely fair. We all come from different backgrounds and are in different situations. Sometimes we can barely give ourselves what we need, or we're reliant on others in some way, which limits what we have access to. Whatever your situation, trust me, the gods know and they understand. They see you living paycheck to paycheck, and they would rather see you be able to pay all your bills than get them something you can't afford. They know you live at home and are dependent on your parents financially, so it's hard to ask them for money. They know that you are trying to save to get the hell out of a bad situation so you can finally begin to feel better. And they want you to feel better and are happy with the cup of water you offer them. So please don't feel bad or beat yourself up because you are limited by the place your life is in right now. The gods understand, and they still love you. To further my point, I want to share with you an excerpt from the book Charis, Hellenic Polytheism Explored, by Sarah Kate Istra Winter. A story is told that there was a man who had made many costly and lavish offerings to Apollon, but was told by the Pythia that the truest worshiper of the gods was instead a man in Arcadia who garlanded his household statuses each month and made modest offerings at all the festivals. As the excerpt states, the gods care far more about consistency than they do about luxury. Giving small offerings on a regular or semi-regular basis, it's much more appreciated in the eyes of the gods than elaborate ones given all willy-nilly. One last thing that I want to stress is that offerings don't have to be something you purchased. Handmade items and even things found out in nature make terrific offerings. I personally love being crafty and making things for the gods. I feel like doing so adds individuality to my worship, and also giving the gods something only I can give them. So don't be afraid to get creative. I promise you the gods will happily hang your artwork on their shared fridge on Mount Olympus. Okay, now that you know the why and what, let's get into when you give offerings. For general offerings of gratitude and appreciation, the when is really up to you. As mentioned before, establishing a consistent schedule for offerings is advisable. But what kind of schedule depends on you and your lifestyle? I always recommend to worshipers to focus on adapting their worship to their life as opposed to the other way around. Your worship is a hell of a lot more flexible than your life, so you're much more likely to be consistent with your offerings if you don't try to force yourself to keep a schedule you know full well you can't. Offerings can be made on a daily, weekly, monthly, or whatever you want basis. What days and times you choose is up to you. If you're lost or unsure where to start with when creating an offering schedule, the main Olympians have sacred days of the week and sacred days of the month. For example, Fridays are sacred to Aphrodite, and so is the fourth of every month, so you can choose to follow those. Another option is to follow the moon cycle. You can associate a deity to a phase, like how I associate Persephone with the half moon and also the new moon, and use those days to give offerings. You can also use festivals as a time to make offerings. Don't fret, we'll discuss festivals in a later episode. The type of offering schedule you implement is completely up to you, so really take the time to figure out what's going to work best for you, your worship, and of course, the gods. Outside of general offerings of gratitude, offerings are also made when you are asking something of the gods. Any kind of favor being asked, any request, any wish, it all requires an offering. You can either present your offering when asking for your favor, or after it's been fulfilled. Personally, I like to give an offering both when I make my request and when it's been granted. My thought process for doing so is that giving an offering when I make a request of the gods will make them look favorably on me, thus meaning they are more likely to give me what I'm asking for. And giving another after they have blessed me shows my appreciation for their generosity and kindness, so any future favors I might ask for have a better shot of also being fulfilled, since the gods know I am truly grateful for their aid. As I said in the beginning of this episode, offerings are about showing your gratitude and also humbling yourself in the presence of the gods. So how exactly do you even give an offering? I promise, it sounds more complicated and complex than it actually is. It's fairly simple, really. You place your offering on your altar or shrine, and then you say a prayer of some sort, telling the god or gods, if you're offering to more than one, what you're offering to them and why. Usually the why is about giving thanks for whatever it is you are thankful for. I'll give you an example of what you can say when giving an offering. My beloved Queen Persephone, I offer you these pomegranate seeds as a symbol of my complete gratitude for all the blessings you have bestowed on me and for the beautiful seasons you bring to the world. That's a basic small prayer that you can say. You could decide to keep going, of course, adding more personal touches that you wish to say. You could also choose to ask for a favor. Don't be too intimidated when speaking to the gods. You don't have to sound super formal or use poetic, pretty words. And as you can see with my example prayer, they don't even need to be lengthy. Just be genuine with your words. Even if you stutter or say a million times, as long as you are being honest and true with your words, the gods will accept them. So now comes the part of my podcast where I show you how psychic I am. I know exactly what you're asking yourself right at this moment. Okay, you ready? You're wondering what the fuck you do with offerings afterwards, right? Yep, I knew it, because I'm psychic. And also because that's a question I get on a regular basis. It's a legit question. You don't want to do anything that would come across as disrespectful to the gods. So let's break it down so there's no more confusion. Typically, when you give a non-food or drink offering, the item stays on your altar or shrine as a permanent fixture. That, of course, doesn't mean you can't use the item, it just means its new home is on the altar. Now, food and drink offerings are a bit trickier. How long you leave a food or drink offering out depends entirely on you, the gods, and what the offering is. If it's a perishable item, then less time sitting out is better. No one wants rotting food sitting out. Not you, and not the gods. Don't feel like you have to leave offerings out for hours. 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour are all fine. So don't overthink it or stress too much about it. Do what feels right. Okay, let's now discuss a topic that is highly debated within our community. How to properly dispose of a food or drink offering. Traditionally, food offerings were burnt or buried, while drink offerings were poured out. Some worshippers continue to uphold tradition, and you're welcome to join them. My only word of warning for burying food and pouring out liquids is to not do so if it will harm the environment and local wildlife. Make sure you're being conscious of that. A more modern way of burying and pouring out is throwing away the offering or pouring it down the sink. Personally, I find that very wasteful, but I'm not really interested in telling people how they should worship. Everyone has to do what feels right to them. Which brings me to the controversial topic of consuming offerings. There's much debate on whether consuming offerings given to the gods is disrespectful or appropriate. I think my stance on this issue is fairly obvious if you've listened this long, but let's get into it anyway. I don't see consuming offerings as disrespectful at all, and I think it's extremely unfair and invalidating to tell someone they are disrespectful for choosing to do so. We all live in different realities, and for some of us, our reality is having limited access to food. Some people literally cannot afford to waste a single grain of rice because that might be their only meal for the day. Some people may be living with others who control or restrict their access to food. The truth is, you have no idea what someone is going through and what reality they are living in. So it's extremely insensitive to force one way of worship as the right and only way. I also think that because some of the gods have a lot to do with how we get our food, that they want us to enjoy it. Food is like one of the ultimate blessings they have bestowed on us, so I imagine they are more than okay with us not wasting it. Not to mention, the gods don't want to see us struggle or suffer when we don't have to. They don't want you going hungry because you wanted so badly to share your food and not disrespect them by eating it. And I'm going to be bold right now and say Dionysus agrees with me here. Pouring good wine down the drain is extremely offensive, and I won't stand for it. I'm very non-judgmental, except when it comes to wasting perfectly good alcohol. So to summarize, it is not disrespectful to consume a food or drink offering, and everyone is free to choose their method of disposable that feels right for them. End of discussion. And now you know everything you need to know about offerings. I hope they seem a lot more manageable and less intimidating to you. One thing I didn't touch upon is activities as offerings, and that's because next episode is going to be all about devotional acts, which is a favorite topic of mine. I'm really excited to discuss it, so I'll hope you'll join me then. If you want to keep up to date with me, what I'm working on, what I'm reading, how my devotion to witchcraft is going, and see adorable pictures of my monster of a cat, Moo Kitty, please feel free to follow me on Instagram and Tumblr, both under The Pastel Priestess. As always, my loves, thank you so much for listening and for all your kind and supportive words. It means so much to me. May the gods keep smiling down on you all. Bye, guys!